What's up, everyone? This is Anthony Pompliano. Most of you know me as Pomp. You're listening to the Pomp Podcast, simply the best podcast out there. Now let's kick this thing off.
Enes Freedom is an NBA player who's also been very outspoken about a number of different issues around the world. Heed in this conversation, we talk about Turkey, China, and a number of the issues that Enes has been speaking out about. I really enjoyed this conversation, and I hope that you enjoy it as well. Before we get into this episode, I first want to talk about our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by BlockFi. BlockFi provides financial products for crypto investors. Those products include the BlockFi wallet, a US dollar loan collateralized by your crypto, and a no-fee trading product. BlockFi also released the world's first crypto rewards credit card. It's a Visa credit card that gives you crypto back as your rewards instead of cash back or airline miles. They recently introduced Rewards Flex, so customers choose which crypto assets they receive from their credit card rewards from the BlockFi Rewards credit card. For people in the U.S. who own or are interested in owning crypto or stacking more sats, the BlockFi Rewards credit card provides the easiest way to earn more crypto because you earn 1.5% back in crypto on every single purchase and you have no annual fee. I'm an investor in the business and a very, very happy user. The BlockFi Rewards credit card is the easiest way to earn crypto. For a limited time, when you sign up using my link, blockfi.com/pompcc, you will get $75 back in crypto on your first swipe. Use your everyday spending to diversify your crypto portfolio. I've got the credit card. I love it. And I think you will too. Head on over to blockfi.com/pompcc today.
Next up is Choice. It's time to stop paying capital gains taxes on your Bitcoin. And Choice is here to help. Choice is rebuilding the way Bitcoiners approach retirement by making it possible to invest in Bitcoin and 19 other digital assets inside your IRA. Right now, every time you make a trade, you have to pay capital gains taxes that can be as high as 37%. Choice enables you to trade real Bitcoin, other cryptos, and stocks without having to pay a dime in capital gains. The best part? They just released an iOS app, so you can open an account in less than 10 minutes and take control of your future from the palm of your hand. Join me and the 20,000 other Bitcoiners who have started their tax-efficient stack and open your Choice account today. Search Stack Sats in the App Store or visit choiceapp.io/pomp. Again, search Stack Sats in the App Store or visit choiceapp.io/pomp. And one more thing, if you want to hold your private keys, Choice lets you do that too. Start stacking tax-efficient Satoshis today and visit choiceapp.io/pomp.
This episode is brought to you by CryptoToday.com. Exchanges got decentralized, money got decentralized, and the only bottleneck is the very sites listing them all. CryptoToday.com is like decentralized coin market cap. It's the first of its kind. There's no bribes, no connections, or heavy fees are needed to get listed like on the centralized sites. You can simply request on the blockchain and disperse the prize on-chain to the community and get fact-checked by thousands of eager crypto users. CryptoToday.com treats very differently. There's no presale, no VC money, and all of the team is locked up for at least 1 year. All the centralized competitors have valuations in the billions of dollars. CryptoToday.com started out at $0 as the first decentralized token information site. You can read the white paper at CryptoToday.com. Again, go to CryptoToday.com to learn more. All right, let's get in this episode. I hope you guys enjoyed this one.
Anthony Pompliano runs Pomp Investments. All views of him and the guests on his podcast are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Pomp Investments. You should not treat any opinion expressed by Pomp or his guests as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of his personal opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.
Enes, I think you're there. How are you?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
We're doing fantastic. Dude, I'm so excited to talk to you. I feel like you've got a very unique perspective on the world and a lot of courage as well, which frankly, society is lacking these days. But
thank you for inviting me. It's an honor.
Yeah. Let's maybe start with you've born in Switzerland, obviously grew up in Turkey, live in the United States. Like, when you think about just the various places you've lived and then obviously with all the international play, et cetera, like, you've been to so many different cultures and stuff. Like, what are the commonalities among the cultures? Like, I think that's actually like a really interesting place to start of like, we always think of these geographic lines on a map, meaning that like you versus me versus somebody else, whatever. But I'm guessing that most of it is like actual, we're humans and we're like pretty common across the board. Is that was your experience?
For sure. You know, I'm born in Switzerland. I grew up in Turkey and I pretty much like lived in America. I think one beautiful thing in America is like you can find every, you know, culture and religion and all kind of people, all kind of food actually in here. That's the beauty of America, you know. But other than that, I mean, obviously there are lots of differences, obviously politically, about, you know, the people, economy, obviously, and stuff. But other than that, I think that what I found in America is just it definitely brings people together because you have people from all over the world, you know, different cultures. And actually, some of the red Turkish restaurants that I've been to in America is better than what I had in Turkey. It's the crazy thing. I don't know if you guys ever in like LA or New Jersey area, especially, or New York. It's one, especially in, actually, there are some really good ones in Miami too. I have not tried it yet, but yeah, so they got some really good ones.
Be careful. You're going to offend all the Turkish people. Tell them that the Turkish restaurants in America are better. So I do think that this is a great point though, right? Of like there's commonalities and obviously America is like this melting pot. People from all over the world is kind of a very unique, unique experience. You changed your last name officially to Freedom. My first question is it only with all caps or is it actually lowercase as well? Let's start with a fun question. How do you actually write it when you're like filling out a legal document?
You know, it is all small, but I make it big on like social media. So people like really understand, you know, and especially search. So no, it's actually, there's a funny story behind it. In 2009 was the first time I came to America, right? And I was going to prep school here, and one of my teammates criticized the president. And I was like, oh my God, he's about to be in jail tomorrow, right? I was like very scared of him because where I grew up, you criticize the government, you'll be in jail the next day. Anyway, I turned around and I told him, I was like, dude, I saw your post, you know, you just criticized the president. And he was like, so what? He's like, I was very afraid for him because I thought he was going to be in jail the next day. And he turned around and said, dude, like, don't worry, this is not Turkey, this is America. And I was like very like confused, like, what do you mean? Well, he tried to explain to me what freedom means, freedom of speech, religion, expression, media. And I was like very, still very confused because I did not had that growing up, you know? But the more I meet with people, the more I, you know, talk to people and experience it, I was like, wow, this is something amazing, you know? And then that's why I wanted to change it.
Yeah. It's incredible. And obviously you've been critical of a number of different governments. And so maybe in some way America like red pilled you and you're like, oh, you can do this and you'll be able to do it on social media, et cetera. But let's start maybe with like the Turkish government. I think that was really the first time that I personally heard any of this. What are the issues that are going on there that people should be aware of? And then also like, why did you choose to speak out about it, given that, you know, playing in the NBA and kind of having all of these things that for most people would be this amazing life and everything going in your favor? Like, why even bother with it?
Yeah, I'll tell you the whole story. You know, I got drafted in 2011. I mean, my first 2 years in the league, all I cared about was just playing basketball and, you know, having fun with my teammates. That's literally all I cared about. Well, then my third year in the league, it was back in 2013, there was a big corruption scandal happened in Turkey. President Erdogan and his family was involved in it. And, you know, as a basketball player, you know, I was like looking at to see what's happening in my country. You know, this dude was putting innocent people in jail, you know, police, prosecutors, judges, and innocent people. And he was going around and shutting down media outlets, whoever talk about this, you know, corruption scandal. And I was like, I don't care who you are, but if you're going to fight against, you know, free press, and if you're going to start putting journalists in jail, I'm going to say something. So I like very simply like tweet something out. Right. And because of the NBA platform, it became a conversation here in the United States and Turkey. And I was like, even one simple tweet can change this much. From now on, I'm going to start, you know, paying attention about what's going on in my country more, you know? So I was like, my teammates were going out to parties and hanging out and stuff. I was going back home. I started to study about, you know, the relationships between Turkey and America, Middle East, what's happening in my country and stuff. And I was like, the more I studied, the more I started to talk. And the really big, you know, like media outlets in America and newspapers and magazines started to give me a platform. And I started to write op-eds and give interviews and, you know, started to do some panels and discussions and stuff. And obviously Turkish government hated that. Every time I say something, it was becoming a conversation. So the things that I talked about affected me and my family. My dad was a genetic professor. He got fired from his job. My sister went to medical school for 6 years. She still cannot find a job. I think the saddest one was my little brother, because he wanted to be like his big brother. He wanted to play in NBA, but he was getting kicked out in every team because of the same last name. He was so young, I couldn't really explain him why he was getting kicked out. So they started to get affected so much, they had to put a statement out there and said, we are disowning Enes publicly. I remember going to a practice that day. It was definitely one of the most like toughest day, you know. And Turkish government didn't believe that. They sent police to my house in Turkey and they raided the whole house and they took every electronics away, phones, computers, laptops, iPads, because they wanted to see if I am still in contact with my family or not, which they couldn't find any evidence, but they still took my dad in jail for a while. But we put so much pressure from here to Turkey with media, with politicians, then they let him go. They had to. But, you know, then after that, they revoked my passport. They actually tried to kidnap me in Romania. It's all over the internet. You guys can check it out.
What happened actually, there?
So I landed in Romania, right? I give my passport because there was like a big event. I give my passport to this passport lady. She started to look. She said, hold on a second. She went in the back. She came out with the police and said, I'm sorry, you are not allowed to, you know, get in the country because your passport has been revoked. And so they put my name on Interpol list. So with Turkish government, if you're in Turkey and criticize the government, you'll be in jail the next day. But if you're outside of Turkey, you're criticizing the government, they put your name on Interpol list, right? And then whichever country you're in, they have to deport you back to Turkey because of the Interpol arrest warning. So they detained us in the airport, and there was two police was actually watching me, and one of them was a big basketball fan. He came to me and said, you guys have 2 hours. It was me and my manager. You guys have two hours to leave this country. If not, you guys are getting deported back to Turkey. And I started to text and call the senators I know, the congressmen I know, the NBA, NBPA, the player association, even some of the players. Because the more pressure you put on the Romanian government, then it will be easier for us to get out that detained. So I'm glad, luckily, many of the senators worked and we got out, but it was very crazy.
So like when that happens, you're sitting there and they're like, we're going to deport you back to Turkey. You mm-hmm. probably think that there's bad shit that's going to happen if that occurs. What do you do? Like, can you not just go buy a plane ticket and get on the plane? Like, do you have to get the senators to like get a special plane to come get you? Like, what happens?
Not a special plane, but so like just because of they revoked our passport, we are not allowed to fly. You know, I have no passport. So I remember texting Senator Lankford. So back then I was playing for Oklahoma City Thunder. So I texted, you know, Senator James Lankford. I'm like, hey, Senator, I'm stuck in Romania. They detained me and I need to leave here as soon as possible. So he worked with Homeland Security and stuff. So like they brought me back. I'm glad they brought me back. Because if it was happened to me, if I went back to Turkey, it would be a very ugly situation. I didn't want to think about it, you know, because I mean, there are so many reports out there saying that there are thousands of people, innocent people in jail right now, getting tortured and raped. And these reports are like Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, Human Rights Foundation. So these are some like legit reports, you know, so like it will be a very, very ugly situation.
So when you think about this, you became more and more vocal over time. Does your family still live in Turkey?
Yeah, so last time I saw my family was back in 2015. Unfortunately, there is no communication. I have another brother plays basketball in Poland. So I talk to my brother and my brother talks to my family about like if you ever want to communicate and stuff.
Yeah.
But right now they're scared because, I mean, the last 4 or 5 years, there's been so many people, media outlets and politicians and stuff behind us. Now, every time like they touch my family, it becomes like international news. So like they're scared.
Yeah. And then when you went from the Turkish government, right, I think that people were like, okay, cool. He's grew up in Turkey. He understands kind of what's going on there. And then at some point, I saw you start talking about the Chinese government. And mm-hmm. I think that's when I was like, oh, okay, hold on a second. This isn't just going to be like, I'm going to criticize my own government. This is like, there's a bigger story here. And so walk me through kind of the evolution from just the Turkish government to kind of other, you know, oppressions that are happening around the world.
So the last 10 years when I was in the league, I only focused on one dictatorship, obviously because of my plate was so full because of my family there. My family was stuck. We've been trying to bring him over here for years now, and it's been 8 years, you know, so, and they're having some very, you know, tough times over there. But just past summer, I'm doing a basketball camp, right? And after, you know, we had an amazing camp with the kids, free basketball camp. And after the camp, kids came and we were taking pictures and I was, you know, signing autographs one by one. And I took a picture with this kid and his parents called me out in front of everybody. And he said, how can you call yourself a human rights activist when your Muslim brothers and sisters are getting tortured and raped every day in concentration camps in China? I was like, and media was there, parents, kids, other people, my friends. I was so shocked. I was just like, didn't know what to say or what to do. Anyway, and I'm still smiling for the picture. Anyway, I turn around. I'm like, I promise I'm going to get back to you. So that day I canceled everything, right? I went back to my hotel. I started to, you know, study about what Uyghurs are going through. I mean, I grew up as a, you know, Dalai Lama fan. So I looked at what Tibetans are going through. So I already knew about Hong Kong because 2 years ago when, you know, general manager of Houston Rockets tweeted something, it became a huge mess in the NBA. You know, I already knew about Taiwan because I wanted to go there. I know the conflicts between China and Taiwan. And also I started research about Mongolia. So I was like seeing all the human rights abuses one by one, right? I was so ashamed with myself. I'm like, I cannot believe the last 10 years I only focused on one dictatorship. So I promised myself, I was like, whatever it takes, I'm just going to go out there and just, you know, speak up. And that's how I started to talk about other dictatorships. And it wasn't only China, because there are human rights abuses happening all over the world. You look at, I don't know, like Venezuela, Cuba, North Korea, Iran, Russia, and we can go on and on. So I wanted to like speak up for all these people, not just for the people that in my country.
Got it. And so when you think about this, it feels like, if you spend enough time studying, you will find this happening in every single country. And people in the United States, this makes them very uncomfortable to talk about, but even the United States has things that if folks were educated on, they would say, hey, I didn't know that was going on. That feels like it's wrong, right?
Right.
And so when you think about you as one person, you have this platform, right? Having played in the NBA for so long and really caring about this stuff. But is there like a prioritization in your mind of like, can I talk about all of them? Should I just focus on one or two of them? Like, how do you think through, you know, where to focus your time, energy, et cetera, given that you're just one person?
So I was hoping once I started to talk about these issues, you know, others will join me, you know, other players or even coaches or not just the people or athletes in NBA, because I did this right before the Winter Olympics. I'm like, God, I was praying every day. I'm like, God, please send me one athlete. It doesn't have to be a basketball player. It doesn't have to be an NBA player. Anyone to join me to talk about these issues, you know? I reached out to so many people, so many athletes, so many celebrities. I mean, unfortunately, there's not one person wanted to stand right next to me. You know, I asked them like, dude, you know, you talk about all the human rights abuses happening here, and good for you. It's amazing. And I'm with you. But what about there? I mean, human is human, you know? Well, they're like, well, listen, we love you. I think what you're doing is so amazing. We support you. We just cannot do it out loud because, because we have shoe deals, endorsement deals, you know, jersey sales or family to feed and stuff. I always ask him one question, all to Olympians, NBA players, athletes in different organizations. I was like, if your mother, if your sister or your daughter was in those concentration camps getting tortured and raped every day, would you still remain silent? No one answers. And, you know, when I started to, you know, research and start to study, I mean, obviously on the internet, you can find all kind of news, good news, bad news, fake news. Because I called my manager. I was like, I want you to find me a concentration camp survivor. Obviously, he was very shocked. He was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, I want to talk to one. So he found me a woman that was in concentration camps a couple of years ago. And she told me about some of the stories that are happening in there. I don't know if the kids are watching this podcast or not. I don't want to go into details, but some of the things that she told me, it was like mind blowing. She told me about gang rape and torture and forced abortion, sterilization, and how many people dying in there every day. So like, I was like, I don't care how much money or business or more. If you carry a heart, you have to, you know, say something about these people. You have to support these people. And every time a person who has a platform says something, it becomes a conversation and actually it helps people over there, you know? So, I mean, unfortunately, there's not one athlete wanted to, you know, join me, but I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I think is unique about your situation is the platform that you've got as an NBA player also afforded the opportunity to financially make money. And so once you get to a certain point, I'm assuming that you don't strike me as a guy who has 17 private jets and 14 yachts and
all that. I don't even have a house or a car.
you don't have a house or a car?
I don't even have a house or a car.
All right. No. So I'm assuming the money you made in the NBA, right? there's an ability for you to kind of weather the financial blowback, right? Of you're not playing in the NBA right now, sponsorships, like all these things that you were able to do for a number of years. You got the platform and you're able to kind of financially get there. And so in some way in society, there's actually a group of people who have that ability. They have a platform and also they've got enough money where once they start to kind of speak out, they anticipate it. They know what is going to be the blowback. And so I think that it's even more so like you have more to lose than the average person, which makes this whole thing kind of pretty incredible.
I mean, people always talk about like, dude, was it worth it? I mean, you talk about you know, the things are happening in China and you lost your job. But like, I always tell them like, listen, I wanted to talk about the issues that are happening in my country. I lost my family. Just because I talk about the issues that are happening in Turkey, I haven't seen my family since 2015, you know? But people are always asking me that question. But I was like, listen, man, my family is only one. There are thousands of families in jail or around the world right now are suffering, you know? You look at the numbers, there's actually a really good web page is like turkeypurge.com, and you go there, you can see all the numbers. You know, it right now, so far, last time I checked, there were 17,000 innocent women, and almost over 800 babies and kids are in the jail right now with their mother waiting for help. And these women, innocent women, are worked in a place like a media outlet or a newspaper or school or whatever that said something against the government, and that's their only crime. That's what they put my dad in jail just because of he was my father, you know. So it is bigger than basketball, because it is bigger than making millions of dollars, or it is bigger than NBA, you know. So I mean, it's I hope that people can see that.
Yeah, I've got two of my brothers here with me. Joe, John, what questions do you guys got?
My question would just be around how you feel the NBA has handled this specifically, right? You've obviously been very outspoken, and I think some of the things you mentioned earlier, and I think everyone's aware of that, these are sometimes topics that they shy away from. What is your general feeling and your general take on just kind of how they've treated the situation with you speaking out against these injustices?
I mean, they handled horribly because, I mean, so let me give you an example. Last 10 years, right, I talk about the issues that are happening in Turkey. I did not get one phone call. Only phone calls or text messages I was getting are support from the NBA, support from Adam Silver. Adam Silver texted me twice on my phone and said, listen, whatever you need, let me know when the Turkish stuff was, when the Turkish issues were happening. And so I did not get one phone call. So this China thing happened, right? My phone was ringing once every hour. What are you doing? So I how I did it was very colorful, because when I was a kid, right, whenever I watched an NBA game, the first thing I was like looking at an NBA player was the shoes, what color it is, what brand it is, if it's comfortable, you know, and stuff. So I wanted to do it in a very unique way where it's going to inspire millions of kids out there. So whichever abuse are happening in the world or in China, I put that abuse on my shoes. I work with one of the artists that are being oppressed or abused by their government, and we put this 100%, you know, American-made, no slave labor, no sweatshops shoes. We created those, and then we put the art on it and went out there and played. So to my first game, I wore a free Tibet shoes, right? So I wore the shoes. I went out there to warm up. It was in Madison Square Garden, actually, in New York. And we sang the national anthem, and we were in a team huddle. While we were in a team huddle, there's two gentlemen from the Celtics, you know, Boston Celtics, came to me and said, "We are begging you, please take your shoes off. Your shoes have been getting so much attention that they're calling us from the NBA. You have to take those shoes off." And I was shocked because I looked at the rules. There is not one single rule that says that I'm not allowed to wear those shoes. Anyway, I was like, I'm not going to take my shoes off because I'm not breaking any rules. And I was like, I don't care if I get fined. And they said, "We are not talking about a fine. We're talking about getting banned." And I was shocked. I was like, it was the perfect moment because I was just getting ready for my citizenship test. And I remember, I'm like, okay, there are 27 amendments. My first amendment, freedom of speech. I was like, I'm not taking my shoes off. This is my freedom of speech, right? So that game, I played 0 minutes. Prior to that game, I played every game. So at halftime, I went back to my locker room. Obviously, there were thousands of notifications in my phone, and I clicked on my manager's text message. He said, "Every Celtics game are banned in China." So it took them 24 minutes to ban every Celtics game in Chinese television. I was like, wow, that clearly shows that the censorship, you know? So that was like mind blowing to me. But then I was like, after the game, NBA called me, obviously. And they're like, sorry, not NBA, NBPA. Because the player association used to work for us. Well, in this situation, they were working for the NBA, you know? So they're like, NBA's pressuring us so much, you cannot wear those shoes ever again. I was like, dude, I'm not breaking any rules. Like, you know, they said, we know, but please work with us. Don't wear those shoes ever again. They bugged me, and they were bothering me and my manager so much. I was like, sure, I promise you, I'm not going to wear free Tibet shoes ever again. So the next game, right, I wore free Uyghur shoes. They called me after the game. They're like, you're a liar, blah, 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 right? I was like, I never told you that I'm not going to wear free Uyghur shoes. I just said I'm just not going to wear free Tibet shoes, right? And at that point, it was over. You know, it was just me and them was not the best friends after that.
Ines, would you say that the NBA has tried to silence you? Like, is that what you're basically saying? Is that they, on multiple occasions, publicly were saying, hey, we're behind this. Like, we believe in free speech, but behind closed doors, they were doing the exact opposite?
100%. They're hypocrites. Let me just tell you this. 2 years ago, right, when we were all in NBA bubble, and they were all about social justice. They were all about standing for freedom, standing for, you know, the things that happened in America. And I was like, this is amazing, cool. You know, finally, NBA is standing for something for bigger than basketball. And 2 years later, this happened. There is not one player, there is not one officials, one coach, or anyone standing right next to me. And same time, they try to silence me. So now they've been exposed, right? And they hate that. Now there's not one. We are actually messaging NBPA, the player association, right? Which we pay every month so much money to them, and the only thing they have to do is just protect us. They're not even returning my calls.
Are there any players that tried to get you to stop talking about it? Like, are there any like conversations you had with other players that were either very supportive or very anti this?
I don't want to say, I mean, they were always like silently supporting me. You know, they never be like, I mean, they said, just listen. Only, I remember like the first time I started to talk about this issue, I started to talk about Nike in China, right? They're like, listen, man, I think what you're doing is so amazing, but just know that this is your last year in the league. You're not going to get another contract. You're going to say something, Nike, you'll be out of the league. You're going to say something about the things that happened in China, you're going to be out of the league. I mean, think about this. Just last year, more people watched NBA games in China than American population. So crazy. It's crazy.
I'm also inferring from all the things I've read online, you and LeBron don't go to each other's birthday parties. Like, you guys aren't as friendly as maybe definitely in the past.
Not. Definitely not. No. No, we don't. I mean, people are thinking that I'm attacking him, right? It's not just him, right? Obviously he is the face of Nike. I mean, he is the face of NBA. So whenever I call him out, it's not just him. It's about, you know, his company that he works with, or like, you know, the other players that who is signed with Nike or some other companies who has something to do with slave laborers, right? So it's not just him that I'm calling out. I'm not just picking him and attacking him, but it is all the players out there who pretend to care about social justice, or not just the players, but the companies, right? So pretends to care about social justice, but when it comes to, obviously, whenever the things that they talk about affects their pocket, affects their money or business, they will be silenced.
I got one more question. I think John's got a question. We'll let you go. My question is, we are seeing the United States and other countries, other types of sports, other events. I think Wimbledon just did this and a number of others. All start to attack, silence, ban, suspend, etc., Russian athletes from participating, given the conflict that's going there. One of the things about censorship or you know, some of these issues that I always think about is like, is it just as long as these people agree with the U.S., we're cool with it? Or is it that we think it's bad always? And so what are your thoughts in terms of, let's say, Wimbledon not allowing the Russian players to participate, given actions that their country's taking, but not necessarily them themselves?
The question you're asking me is...
It's basically like, what are your thoughts about these other leagues that appear to be punishing players from certain countries, but again, the NBA, et cetera, you know, there's no punishment for players from China or Turkey or any of this type of stuff. It's basically almost like ad hoc. Sometimes they want to punish, sometimes they don't. And it's almost like, when are we cool with it? When are we not?
That's the one thing that I'm asking, like, whenever I do an interview or write an op-ed. If, you know, right now Russia is attacking Ukraine, right? And then you see all the, you know, players are getting banned, or the companies or CEOs be being getting pulled out there. If it happens that China's attacking Taiwan, would the same CEOs, same companies or same people or whatever will do the same thing? I don't think so, you know? And I hope it won't happen. You never know with the China, but that is the one question I'm always asking myself or asking for people. Would the CEOs or companies or other people will pull out from the China or not?
Yeah, it's fascinating. John, what question you got?
Ennis, it seems that you're trying to inspire education and change. Are we good?
He's shutting down his phone.
Yeah. I'm doing an interview. Give me 1 second. I'm going to hold back.
Give me 1 second. I'm talking freedom.
Now, I'm in a hotel, so like they just keep calling me from downstairs.
You're a busy man. We got you. We got one more question. Then we're good.
I'll be quick. You're clearly trying to inspire change in the world. What does that change look like?
What do you mean?
Like,
what's your goal?
It seems like you're trying to help people get educated about the things people being oppressed around the world. What does the change look like that can happen to get the world in a better place?
I mean, first of all, people are always asking me whenever I do an interview or panel. I mean, I don't have an NBA platform, or I'm not a politician or an athlete. How can I help? I mean, you might not change the whole world, but you might change someone's world. That is one. And the least you can do is when you see when you're going to buy something, when you're going to, when you pick an item, when you see made in China, put it down. That's the least you can do. You know, I think for my dream world, just because I'm experiencing from firsthand, I see how this CCP is pretty much controlling so many American-made companies and like Wall Street, academias, Hollywood, sports world, some of the, you know, Congress or local Congress. So I feel like we need to understand that, like, they are trying to invade us from the inside because they know they cannot invade us from the outside, you know? So I think we just passed a bill. It calls Uyghur Prevention Act. I mean, if you have anything to do with slave labor, you're not allowed to step into America, you know? So that is actually a plus. But it is happening, but it just happened very slowly. But I just need the people to understand and people to wake up that, you know, they are trying to, like, you know, pretty much they are controlling American-made organizations, companies. And I feel like, you know, people need to wake up and they need some courage, and someone had to open that door, because I was experiencing from firsthand. They're talking about all the problems that are happening around the world, but when it comes to China, they're remaining silent. So I think my perfect dream is like all this, you know, things like, you know, big tech and Wall Street and academias or Hollywood and sports world, you know, to be wake up and not bow down to the Chinese government.
Appreciate that.
It's a great answer. Where can we send people to find you on the internet or find out more about the work you're doing?
Well, I mean, they can follow me on social media. It's pretty much at NS Freedom, or I have a website, nsfreedom.org. You know, they can just go there, and actually they can just see all the shoes that I've been creating. So it's very simple. Just click on it and yeah.
Awesome, man. Listen, thank you so much for all the work you're doing. I think people are learning quite a bit from you. So so keep going, and we'll definitely bring you back as you continue this.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
All right, buddy. Have a great day. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. I really hope you guys enjoyed this one. Make sure you're subscribed on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast player. And if you're looking to try to transition to get a new job in the Bitcoin or crypto industry, we've got you covered. Head over to pompscryptocourse.com. We've developed a curriculum with the top teams across the industry. It's a 3-week intensive training program with over 50 events packed into that 3-week time period. Go to pompscryptocourse.com to learn more, and I'll meet you guys for the next episode.